Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Mike Hillaby, Legislative Director for Kemp for Kroll and former Chief of Staff to Governor Gwynn, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising healthcare costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our healthcare spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising healthcare costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're taping this program on Wednesday, February the 10th, because we're moving studios, and so we're banking a bunch of shows here. And so we're pleased to welcome to the program for the whole show Mike Hillaby, a Director of Legislative Affairs for Kemp for Kroll, and former Chief of Staff to Governor Gwynn. Pleasure to have you back on the program,
sir. Thanks to be here again, as always.
You are in the midst of the whole taxicab, Lyft, Uber situation, representing Lyft. Lyft now just put together this huge deal with General Motors. Tell us a little bit about it, if you will.
So, they're out like all these companies, the Silicon Valley companies and tech companies, looking to bring in capital. So GM made a pretty major investment. I think GM is looking toward the future, as everybody is. Are we even going to be driving cars in 5 or 10 years the way we're used to doing that? And what we're seeing with the transportation network companies, the Lyft and Ubers of the world, they're changing the way younger potential auto buyers think about buying a car. And in many cases, they're not. They're saying it simply, particularly if they're living in a crowded community or a larger city, saying, I have options now in addition to public transit. I'm not going to buy a car. So it makes a lot of sense for GM and other companies are looking, saying, where do we move next as the idea of car ownership and how cars are being used changes?
And it's also interesting that it's giving credibility to the Lyfts and the Ubers to be associated with a company like General Motors, because mm-hmm. I think in surveys that I've read, that people don't necessarily feel comfortable on a technology basis, which is ironic, with these companies like Uber and Lyft, but they know the name of GM or Ford or whoever, and Mercedes-Benz, and so therefore if you combine the two, then you've got a huge trust factor.
And I think that sounded changes across the age demographic. So you've got some older customers that might have said, I'm not sure I know about the technology, understand it. There's a lot of GM's involved. You know, that's a good old, you know, blue chip stock sort of company. I need to take a second look at that.
And it's interesting, too, there was articles over the weekend about side mirrors going away, mm-hmm. that you're now going to have video cameras. It'll help the vehicles aerodynamically, so it'll cut down on fuel and it'll increase your speed if that's what you want. But you'll be able to see, there won't be any hidden blind spots anymore. And you're used to the backup TV screens for most of the cars that have been over the last 5 or 6 years. But now you'll have the whole view.
I noticed just the other night we watched one of the new X-Files episodes, and usually the product placement's not so subtly put in, and they were actually showing a forward-facing camera that looked around the corner.
Right.
So whichever agent was driving didn't run over the pedestrian that was running down the sidewalk as they were pulling out of an alley. So.
For somebody like me, this is all great technology, and hopefully it will save me bills at my body shop.
Yeah, as all of us age, no kidding.
The taxicab authority, the audit that was done, what did you make of that?
It was pretty scathing. I'm not sure it's anything hugely surprising. What's been shocking is the response to it from the authority. How people appointed by the governor don't even bother to show up to the Internal Audits Committee, which is all of the constitutional officers, challenge the authority of internal audits to even look at them. I've really never seen anything quite like it. It's really shocking that someone would take that particular attitude. Even if, and they pointed out yesterday, the Legislative Commission's Sunset Subcommittee looked at the audit and had the agency up. To that meeting, three of the commissioners did show up, so that's interesting. They would show up for the legislature, but not for the executive branch for whom they work. They did point out where they think there were some mistakes made in the audit on the fuel surcharge. Well, that's great. Then you respond and put that information out and do something. But to start with this defense that I'm not going to show up to the meeting my boss has called, just amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
And it's interesting because just recently there was an article on the airlines and that they still continue to charge fuel surcharges. They just bury it in the price so it doesn't show up as a fuel charge, but they never got rid of them. And
right.
So it's interesting to see if the taxi industry will try to move that surcharge.
And the other huge one, and it was fascinating hearing from a number of the drivers that showed up yesterday in public comment, is the credit card surcharge. And full disclosure, I represent MasterCard. We opposed the bill back in 2011 that sort of legalized something the Taxi Cab Authority had done in 2010, which is also interesting. They imposed the $3 fee, and then the industry came forward to the legislature looking for permission for the TA to do something they'd already done. And they said that was overcharging customers to the tune of 14 point something million dollars. Interestingly, we said back in 2011, they're going to overcharge by 13 million. It's just profit into the cab company's pockets. And the drivers are saying, it's hurting us. People are angry about the $3 fee. It affects my tips. So it's pretty interesting to see where this goes.
And you know, it's interesting because personally, I will not pay that $3 fee. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. For me, the pricing of regular taxi cabs is already too expensive. And then, you know, yes, it would end up coming out of the driver's tip, and that's not fair, so I'd rather pay cash for it and move along. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that authority, the taxi cab authority, is going to end up going away? Because it seems like they have no friends at this point in time.
I don't know how they survive this. I think the NTA, you've got three full-time commissioners rather than commissioners who are part-time and paid the $80 a day. That's what they do. They're set up. They've got
now, this
a staff.
Is the transportation
authority. The Nevada Transportation Authority that regulates cabs everywhere else in Nevada. Limos, moving vans, shuttle buses, everywhere in Nevada, including Clark County. So it's a real anomaly, but it's an anomaly that the taxi cab industry loves because they've really gotten everything they wanted for the most part over the years. If you look back at the minutes and the annual rate orders and fuel surcharges, largely have gotten what they wanted out of that authority. So I think they're going to obviously push to keep them separate. One of the recommendations of the audit was another option would be to push that down to local government. That's done in other states. I'm not sure I see the legislature handing that over, and I think it would be a disaster to hand that to Clark County and have, again, a bifurcated regulatory scheme.
Does this pretty much announce, I think the last legislative session announced the end of the power of the taxi cab industry when they were just hammered by Uber and Lyft?
I think they still have power, but I'm not sure they've yet figured out what their future is. You know, Bruce Breslow, the director of the Business and Industry Department, in which the TA resides, said yesterday, look, we need to be thinking 5 years ahead when you're not going to get in a taxi cab with a driver at all. It'll be an automated car. What does that mean? How do you start doing with things? You know, one of the taxi cab industry's responses to the increased competition from Lyft and Uber, and by the way, they made $17 million more in 2015 than they did in 2014, so wasn't as large a growth as some years, but they're still making more money. One of the responses was to put many, many, many more cabs on the road. Their revenue went up, but per shift revenue went down for drivers. So drivers are even, or the taxi cab drivers are hurt even worse. They're going to have to think about how they treat their employees while they remain employees. The legislature also passed a law that allowed them to become independent contractors again. But whether they're employees or independent contractors, how they treat them, how they deal with customer service, The idea now, we're also used to, be it Yelp or Lyft or Uber or other apps, to instantly giving feedback and getting a response to that. They're going to have to adopt those kinds of technologies, and they should, and it's not hard. So I think they need to look to what their future is and how they compete. There's always going to be a market for that. And people that aren't going to want to use the apps, they're used to seeing that yellow cab or whatever color it is, and go outside. They'll leave a hotel just wanting to get to a nightclub or to a dinner or back to the airport, and you're going to take the quickest transportation.
All right, let's take a break. More with Mike Hillaby when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Hillaby, as Director of Legislative Affairs for Kenneth Fakrell, former Chief of Staff to Governor Gwynn. Interesting that we're seeing Tom Skanke promoting the high-speed rail down in southern Nevada. And what was interesting for me, I think the turning point for me, was Tony Marnell, who I think is junior, right? Anthony Marnell III is the son. But Tony Marnell talking about how when he owned Rio, that he could see so many zip codes coming in from the Inland Empire in California that Victorville made a lot of sense. Do you think that we are going to see, at a time when we have Senator Reid for another year, and then that power goes away, that we will be able to see movement on high-speed rail to the point where we're actually building this?
I hope so, but I'll be honest, I don't know that I can answer. That there's a lot of pieces that need to be moved. We have, particularly in America, but more increasingly worldwide, a love affair with the car, and particularly in the western United States. That said, you're seeing more and more people understand the importance of public transportation, be it environmentally, time, and we're just becoming more crowded. We certainly need to do it. We need to do some version of that. I don't know which one, if it's the Victorville, those are for people that are smarter than I on those subjects to do. Even the monorail itself, and what a mistake not to have connected that to the airport long ago and to really maybe change things.
Well, I think there were problems from the beginning where the monorail, I think, should have gone down the middle of the Las Vegas Strip and become a tourist attraction, and instead they put it at the backs of all the hotels.
Right.
And now they've made it so it's functioning and potentially can expand. But do you see it expanding beyond the airport in the next decade or so?
No, probably not. I don't know where you get the funding for it. I don't know how to make that work. But, the light rail you're seeing all over the country, people starting to talk about, this is really important to upgrade that infrastructure, and then that shines a light on that, the rail and bridges and our whole highway infrastructure. We've got problems. We're going to figure out how to pay for it.
Let's change topics to politics here. It's interesting to see Michael Bloomberg, as we're taping this, is now pushing again to say that he may have an interest in running for president just because he's looking at the candidates on both sides and saying. But it seems hard for me to see, even if he puts in, as he's suggesting, $1 billion, the path for him to succeed.
It's really hard because the elections are still run state by state. People think it's a national election and somehow it's a national government. Federal government must be involved, and they're not in any way. Those are run state by state. So the rules and laws about how you get on the ballot are different in all 50 states, and timing and how you get qualified and signatures and all of that, it becomes a lot more challenging for that third-party candidate. And the later it gets, the more challenging that becomes. Do you end up as a write-in in some states, and how do you make that work? With enough money, maybe you can be somewhat viable. I'm just not sure. Maybe all of this is starting the conversation and toward a viable third party. I don't know.
Because I just don't see a way for a third party in this country, because I think we only have one party in this country. I think we have one party with two sides.
You're not the first person that said that, and clearly a lot of people feel the same way. So then call it a second party, a second branch, or a third branch of the same party, I don't know. It's still really difficult. And again, you go back and look at every state. How do you become qualified? Look at what the Independent American Party has to do here in this state. You have to run a certain number of candidates and keep a certain number of members, people signed up for the party. Multiply that times 50. It's different in every state. It's really difficult. But if there was ever an opportunity to at least maybe light that fire, now might seem to be it. But I don't know that it's possible, but you might see real conversations about it the first time in our lifetimes, probably.
I would say so. More with Mike Hillaby when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We represent the key component of Governor Sandoval's new Nevada, economic diversification through economic development. National competition demands we must maintain this momentum because newly developing industries require creative solutions. The things you do today will affect our tomorrow. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Does your car need body work? Looking to try a new color or touch up the old one? Call Nacho's Paint and Body for everything from scratches to full repair. Amazing work at even better prices. Nacho's Paint and Body, where our quality services means your total satisfaction.
The Reno Aces are back, and this year is greater than ever before. Single game tickets are on sale March 12th. Go to renoaces.com for more information.
Northern Nevada and Northern California's number one area rug cleaning facility is now Evergreen Carpet Care. Our four-step process begins with thoroughly removing all dirt, dust, and lint. Then your rug is expertly and delicately cleaned in our rug washing pool. After the cleaning process, we rinse your rug in our special centrifuge. Then your rug is hung to dry. Evergreen Carpet Care makes it easy with free pickup and delivery of your area rugs.
For expert rug cleaning and more, it's forever Evergreen.
Full Circle Services specializes in floor cleaning and maintenance, stone polishing, and wood recoating. We only use organic detergents, safe for your family and pets. For a limited time, get up to 200 square feet of cleaning free. Call now for details and to schedule your cleaning. The most thorough professional cleaning, guaranteed.
Watch Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6.
Don't let your insurance company dictate where to take your damaged vehicle. Bring it to Nacho's Paint and Body. Nacho can bring any damaged vehicle back to life. Call 324-1717. Nacho's Paint and Body, where our quality services means your total satisfaction.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue with Mike Hillaby. He's here for the whole show. Let's talk about, the interesting divisions here with... Marlene Lockhart was talking on the program after New Hampshire that there is a lot of fighting going on under the surface, for example, between the Bernie Sanders campaign and the Hillary Clinton campaign, that the millennials on Twitter and other social media it's getting pretty nasty.
It is. And then it goes back to the old question, how many of them are going to show up and vote? But there's...
But we sit now in the first two outings, and as I say, we're taping this on February 10th, but in the first two outings, the numbers of people out voting have been very high. Well,
both sides, both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have tapped into something, albeit in very different ways. And Bernie, however you feel about him being a democratic socialist, has at least espoused a view of governing and how he would fix problems and the kinds of things he would do. Trump has just tapped into fear and has stoked that into anger and has never really talked about any kind of reasonable vision for how you govern. He's promised things he can't possibly deliver, but has never talked about how to actually govern.
Well, forgive me, but so did President Obama before he was elected the first time around.
I think every politician's done a little bit of that. But in this case, I think it's just much worse when your campaign is really just stoked on anger and fear and making promises and saying things that are patently untrue. It's frightening. And it's too bad we've got a front runner now for a major political party's presidential candidate who is not seeming at all presidential and not really taking either the job of campaigning or the job of governing seriously. And that's too bad.
But you know very well that the long knives are going to come out here, and in the not-too-distant future, as the field winnows down, then a lot of the claims that are being made on both sides by both of the people that you've mentioned mm-hmm. will be attacked ferociously.
Oh, they will. I thought it was interesting. You and I were talking off air, listening yesterday to some news reports from New Hampshire, and again, they're anecdotal. These people that are frustrated, that have not felt like they've had a voice, and some of them being interviewed saying, well, I like Trump, but if he's not the Republican nominee, I'll vote for Sanders because I want somebody that's going to go to Washington and blow the place up. And that does speak to the frustration and the log jams in Congress and whatever, and their frustration at being unemployed long term, whatever that might be. Unfortunately, again, that's not how we ought to be thinking long term about governance.
So how should we be thinking long-term about governance?
Well, again, you'd like some people that could espouse a view for what government ought to be. If you're a conservative, about why it ought to be smaller and what that does for the average person. If you're a liberal, why the social safety net, and I'm obviously grossly oversimplifying, ought to be stronger, and why a community college or college ought to be free, whatever your vision is. And you espouse it, you talk about a way to pay for it, and then you go have that debate. And so far, we've not seen that. And again, in some ways, it's early in the campaign. But you would hope you would have serious people, particularly talking about being president.
All right, but serious people don't attract voters. Serious people end up with low voter turnout.
That's the problem. Because then you've got, as you know, I mean, having worked for a governor, I'm sort of an executive branch guy, and I like governors as candidates for higher office. I think they have a lot of experience and management skills, and they understand the give and take that it requires. So Jeb Bush and John Kasich, I mean, so far they've not obviously fired up, but they're starting to do better. They did better in New Hampshire. And again, you've got an actual vision and somebody that says, I have a record. Chris Christie has not captured either, but again, as a governor, you've got a record to run on, for better or for worse, and you have some idea how to do that, albeit on a larger scale.
When people complain on both sides about Wall Street and the banks, the reality is that nothing has changed since the recession.
No, there are more banks, fewer number of banks holding more capital and tremendous political. And I think that's why Bernie Sanders' message will resonate with independents and with a lot of Republicans, because they don't see this as a fair process. I mean, they look at their own finances, look what happened with their retirement and their homes, and say, I was doing everything right. I paid my bills. I worked hard. And the people that made out, for anybody that didn't see The Big Short, read that book. It was
a movie, right?
It was a great movie, but I left feeling, frankly, a little sick to my stomach and realizing what had happened, and really the people that had made out were the ones that had created the mess. So I think there's some very, after me sort of getting angry at people that were angry about it and using that as the motivation to vote, there is real anger out there. And again, can somebody channel that in a productive way, which I think would be much better for the country, and say, here are solutions that I have to offer and ways we would go about fixing that problem.
I think putting some of those executives in jail instead of having the stockholders pay big fines would have been very helpful.
I think it would have been really, it certainly would have sent a message and maybe changed future behavior.
I mean, because going back to the presidency of George W. Bush, instead of bailing out the banks, they could have bailed out all the homeowners at less cost. Mm-hmm. than it costs to bail out the banks yeah. and let the economic system actually work.
And again, and then as you sort of unravel the history of that to find out the very banks we bailed out were the ones that had created the problem, betting on both sides of that and created a nightmare for all of us, and somehow they're doing better than ever, and the average American is saying, what happened to my 401k and my retirement and the value of my home?
And isn't that, you bring up 401ks, you know, I remember when they first came out and companies started getting away from traditional pensions, which they'd all supplied for years, going to these 401ks. And I just thought, man, and I was a kid at the time, this is a disaster in the making. Who in the average world can go out and figure out this complex financial world of investing for themselves rather than having these large corporations do the thinking for them? It just seemed like it was destined for disaster, and that's exactly what it is. People are now relying on Social Security to survive because they don't have any money left. Or if they do have money left, they may have $20,000, $30,000 in the bank.
Right.
That's nothing.
And then my counterpoint to that is it's unfortunate how many people didn't take advantage of IRAs or 401ks or any kind of individual savings and thought that the government Social Security program was all they were ever going to need. So there is some individual responsibility we have to take there. If you're lucky and worked for a company that had a 401k that had good management and was able to help you out and make the right decisions, you were great. If you were really left to your own, I don't disagree. It's not easy to figure out that market. But the people that were smart saved in a variety of ways and said, I can't look to the government solely for my retirement and have to take some responsibility for that. But it's tough when the whole market gets wiped out as it did, what, 8-9 years ago now.
Yeah, and when you look at the baby boomers, I don't think we've seen the problems that are going to come with this baby boomer generation. They're just not going to have the money to pay for so many things.
No, and unfortunately,
including food.
Yeah, look for that consumerism that has really reigned the last few decades, and all of us that have grown up through that, how many people are thinking ahead to, what am I going to do when I'm 65 or 70?
Or 80 or 90.
Yeah, and, you know, do you want to be a Walmart greeter or working at fast food when you're 70?
That would be me. Michael Hillaby, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When you're selling your home for top dollar, Marshall Realty makes the difference. More exposure, more demand. Your home marketed on TV, radio, and all over the internet. Call Marshall Realty to have your home featured on TV now.
Telephone companies have complicated deals with contracts and hidden fees. But with Spectrum Internet, we make it simple and affordable at $29.99 a month when bundled. And there's no contract.
No contract at all with Spectrum.
Finally.
Spectrum Internet is the fastest you can get. At 20 times the speed of DSL, you'll easily have enough bandwidth for all your devices.
Our phones, tablets, all connected. And it's fast.
No slowdowns, no data caps. Everything is perfect.
With Spectrum Internet, I'm getting more for my money.
Get Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-883-2999. With Spectrum TV, you get free HD, and all your primetime shows are free on demand.
We can always watch what we want, when we want it.
And Spectrum Voice is simply superior with no added taxes or fees.
And the bundle dropped our bill in half.
Get Spectrum Internet, TV, and Voice. Just $29.99 a month each with no contracts. Call 844-883-2999.
Home of the Week, brought to you by Marshall Realty. If you want your home featured on TV, call Marshall Realty today.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast.